Dirty rigs? Get them clean at Max Tent and Detail on South Main Street in Marion. Stop by and have Stephen and Stacy McKinney get your rig whipped into shape with a detailed cleaning, new window tint, or other accessories. That's Max 2 Tent and Detail in Marion.
Welcome to our weekly Rocket Football Podcast, and I want to say we appreciate our sponsors this year for the podcast. Max 2 sponsoring this week, Max Detail and Tinting on South Main Street in Marion, and do want to give a plug for their new restaurant, Annie Mae's. That's Stephen and Stacy McKinney, and some of their other relatives have opened the restaurant, and Coach Starnes, we went by there today. And
it was packed. We couldn't get in there.
So,
that's a good thing. Good for them.
So we detoured this week, but next week we're going to go in and try Annie Mae's. So Coach Starnes, this week we have Trigg County coming in. Trigg County is a team that explosive. It will be a good barometer for our Rockets, which have come out of the gate as hot as I've ever seen our football team come out of the gate. So how are you approaching this Trigg County team as the football coach?
Well, I mean, Chris, I mean, we have to take one game at a time, and Trigg County is a good football team. You know, they've got some kids that that are explosive athletes, and we have to make sure we understand that. And be able to understand what they're doing both offensively and defensively. So, you know, we're approaching this game just like we have any other game. We've had 2 weeks to prepare for them, and we feel like that we're as prepared as we can be for them. And now we just have to go out and play them. And so, you know, we have to battle Harvey and see what's going to happen with him. And we just got to see what happens at that point. You know, Chris, it is a good gauge for us, because I think Trigg is we know about Trigg. We know what they have. We did not know what Stewart County had. You know, so we're just unsure of where we are right now. I mean, when we're clicking, I think we're pretty good. But, you know, we got room to improve, and we've been working on improving. And I think, you know, the kids have improved this week. I've watched them yesterday in their technique and the things that they're doing. And I think if they keep doing that, we'll be okay.
Let's talk a little bit more about Harvey and what might happen. Of course, Harvey is the hurricane that has pummeled Texas and is tracking through this area as we speak this week. And with that much rain anticipated, now we're doing this podcast at around noon on Thursday, so we have more than about a day and a half yet to go to get to the football Friday night. But they're talking like 6 inches of rain. What is that going to do, A, to the field, B, to the ball, and C, to our ability to throw it?
You know, I mean, we watch it, obviously. We do throw the football. We have to understand that both teams have to play in it. So it's not a situation where, you know, one team is going to gain an advantage over the other team, because both teams spread the field, we both run the system, and therefore we'll both be affected the same way. We're shotgun, snap offensively, both of us. So, you know, it's a matter of you have to protect the ball, you have to be able to throw it in the rain, you have to make sure that you run your routes right and you can catch the ball. We're not expecting it. We're not weather people by any means, but we've been monitoring the weather. And it seems that the bulk of the rain is going to be tonight, Thursday night, and then the rain is supposed to move out by midday or mid morning on Friday, tomorrow. So we're looking at it might be a muddy track. The field drains very well. Ronnie Myers has done an excellent job with it, and so it does drain well, and hopefully there's no standing water. We do have grass, so hopefully it's not going to be a muddy turf. It will be slick and it will be soft. And so, you know, it's going to be up to us now to make sure we keep the balls dry, make sure we keep a dry ball in there for a hunter to throw the ball, and we have to make sure that we can catch it. So we've done wet ball drills just to make sure that we can get our snaps, handoffs, throws, and stuff like that.
The managers on the sideline come very important, don't they, in feeding those dry balls, getting those balls off the field
and
dry.
Not just that, keeping them dry.
Right.
So, you know, there's things that you can do. We saw some teams that have a cooler with lights in them, and you know, things to try to keep the ball dry on the sidelines and stuff like that. Our thing is to put them in a bag, dry them off, put them back in there, and make sure we have plenty of balls. We just can't go in with just a couple of them. So.
But let's name those your managers. They don't ever get a lot of publicity, but I tell them all the time they're among the most important people on the staff because I see what they do.
Yeah, they do a great job. You know, we have Emma Atchison and Alyssa Snow and Charity Conyer. Lily Berry, and then Ethan Schaefer also helps us, and Lindsay Lynn also helps. So, I mean, we have great managers, and they do a super job of, you know, and it's just a daily thing for them that they have to keep the players hydrated and making sure that there's plenty of water on the field and and making sure the water bottles are filled up. And then at the game, they have to make sure all the equipment is where it's supposed to be. They have to make sure that everybody has the things that they need and make sure that there's water on coming off. And then we have, you know, one of them is the ball girl and has to make sure that the balls get into the official. And so it's going to be added responsibility to make sure that there's a dry ball in there. So, you know, we can do it. We can help them. But they do an excellent job. You can't speak enough about it.
They really do. Let's talk a little bit about Trigg County's football team. Now, the Wildcats play in 3A now. They're in that district with Caldwell County and Paducah-Tillman and Fort Campbell. Tough district to be in, tough to compete in. But now this is a team we have not played since 2002 because of some scheduling issues, and now we've got them back on the schedule. All time, Crittenden County is 9-28 against Trigg County with one tie, so it hasn't been real good. They've beaten us the last three times, but then we won the three previous to that. So far this year, Trigg County has played Monroe County. That was over at a bowl game in Glasgow and lost 37-19. And then the last week, they came from behind and beat McLean County 31-22. And I think you went to that game, scouted it, and what did you get out of that?
Yeah, I mean they came from behind. They didn't panic. They played hard. They were down 16-0, and you know, they hung in there. They blocked the punt right there before halftime, gave them some excitement going into halftime, came back out and played a different ball game and won the ball game. So, you know, they're a team that's going to play hard. They're aggressive. They have some explosive athletes.
They always have that speed. Are they Tayshaun, really quick?
Yeah, they're quick. Tayshaun Barker, he's about as fast as I've seen getting the football. Plus, he low center of gravity. He's a short guy, and he cuts under would-be tacklers, and also an outside linebacker that you know, is hard to block as well. So, you know, the quarterback, Cameron Jordan, he wants to run the football. He does throw it. I think he's more comfortable running the football. And he's more of a power type runner.
Pretty good sized kid.
Good sized kid. You know, he's about 210 pounds, and so I mean he runs well, and so we're going to have to make sure that we contain him. We have to make sure that we don't open holes for him and give him running lanes for him to go when he does drop back and pass. So you know, it's going to be our responsibility to do that. And then you know, they have. Kyron Grubbs, they've been having a Grubbs over there that ever since I've been coaching, 27 years now, and he's a phenomenal athlete. He plays wide receiver and also plays secondary for him, so you know, they throw the ball out there to him. He can make you miss and take it to the house. And, you know, they've got a guy that I think is one of the toughest athletes out there that plays that I've seen some a lot of things at him past two games. And that's Zach McIntosh, who is he's their defensive end, but they put him out there receiver as well. And when he catches the ball, he makes things happen. So we have to make sure that we work on him. And then Jacoby Bridges, number five, he's probably the most dominating player that they have, both offensively and defensively. And he's the one that can take it down the field and make things happen. And Gabriel Hardy, number 17, has caught some passes in each one that we watched him play too. So, and then they have a H-back that's a big kid and 5'11", 205, and Tyson Bush. He's number 43. He also plays linebacker, and you know, we were at the McLean game, and he kind of challenged us. You know, I mean, he came over there and beat his chest and. called us out and said we're next. So, you know, we've been using that as motivation. And you know what? We are next. And so they need to get ready for us, and we need to get ready for them. So it works both ways.
And that's Tyson Bush's dad is assistant coach over there in the baseball coach.
Tim Bush. Well. Yeah, I know Tim real well. Yeah,
and, been around a long time, you know, played over there.
Just need to thank his son for giving us some motivation. So, you know, that's what happens. But he's a good player. I mean, he's a tough player. He's a hard-nosed player. And, you know, it's competition. It's in the heat of the moment. And, you know, but we take note of that, and we told the players that, that he called us out, and so let's get ready to play some football.
Tyson Bush is one of the few seniors on that team that are really impact players. You mentioned a couple of the others, the McIntosh kid and the Hardy boy. They're seniors, but the rest of them are young. They're sophomores.
Yeah, they are. But juniors. They, you know, they have some good linemen that are seniors you know, they have Chris Odom. He's a senior, and he's number 58 and does an excellent job. You know, they have Kip Darnell. He's 6'3", 230 pounds. He's one of their seniors that does a great job. And then there's Darren Brown, who's number 55, and it looks like he's got a problem with one of his hands. He's got the cast or something that's wrapped up on one of his hands. But, you know, they're good players. I mean, they're outstanding players. They get after you, and they play hard, and you know, we're going to have to match that intensity and that excitement, and you know, let what happens happens. You know, and we can't predict outcomes or things like that, and I don't want to predict it. But you know, I will say that I think that our kids are ready to play, and they will play hard, and that's what we want. That's all you can ask for. As long as they play hard, they're going to make mistakes both sides of the ball, and both teams are going to make mistakes. But we want the kids to play absolutely as hard as they can possibly play.
As far as our personnel this week, no injuries. We've had the week off. Devin Nesbitt's had some illness, and is he going to be okay?
Yeah, I mean, you know, he should be okay. I mean, he had some sickness, and he got a shot Tuesday and practiced yesterday and seems to be okay. So, you know, I mean, you can't control those things when somebody gets sick, and, you know, and hopefully it just doesn't spread and it becomes an epidemic throughout the team. But we think that he's going to be okay. He just might not be 100%.
Anything else? Any changes this week in personnel? You shifting anybody? Something you saw in the first game that, hey, we're going to move so-and-so here? Anything like that? Or are we just stacking up the way we did the first game?
No, I mean, we, you know, we're just doing what we did the first game.
You score 62 points, you don't want to change a lot, do you?
You know, I mean, Chris, I mean, here's the thing. You know, when you're a throwing team and you get a team that plays man coverage all the way across the board and puts no safety, you're not putting your kids in the best situation, you know, unless you say that we're better athletes than you are, and that's it. And you know, and if that happens, then you know, we've been working on this offense now for a while, and you know, we prepare for man coverage and we prepare for zone coverage. So the problem is, and the good part about us is that, you know, we have a quarterback that is very accurate, and that makes a difference to us. And then so when you have an accurate quarterback, then you have some guys that can catch it and make some plays, then, you know, I mean, you got something. And so that's what we feel like that we have. We're just going to have to continue that and understand that. It's not always going to be perfect for us. It's not always going to be the best scenario. But, you know, we're just going to have to make sure that we execute and live the play to another play.
So maybe we slipped up on a team from Tennessee. Stewart County didn't know us very well. They have a young coach, but we know Trigg County's very familiar with Crittenden. Even though we hadn't played them the last few years, Kobe Lewis knows all about Crittenden County. We're in the same district in basketball, baseball. These kids play against each other all the time, so we're not going to slip up on them.
No, we're not slipping up on them. And you know, they're not going to slip up on us. And we know them. We're familiar with each other. We haven't played them in a while. But, you know, it's just like that. Stewart County gets beat by McEwen. I don't know how McEwen is. I'm not in Tennessee, so I can't gauge that as much as I can in Kentucky. So we don't know exactly what we have yet in terms of that, but we do know that we have some kids that are really working their tails off and is really working hard, and we're not a bad football team.
Is there anybody particular, a matchup coming into this week's game that you say, all right, we've got to win right here? Is it up front? Is it with some skilled guys, somebody on an end? Is there any particular?
Oh, absolutely.
Where's that?
I'm not telling you. Absolutely, there's matchups. We got them. You're going to see that Friday night, tomorrow night.
You don't like to give up any of your strategy or secrets going into the game, but who's somebody we've got to look as the fans? Who do they need to look and say, all right, I'm going to hone in on this guy this week and see how he plays? Who would you watch?
You know what I would do is I'd watch number 7, number 1. I'd watch number 10. I'd watch number 16. I'd watch number 21. I'd watch number 4.
Yeah. All of our skill guys.
Yeah, I mean, just watch our skill guys because at any given time, they're the matchup at any given time. Mm-hmm. And it just depends on what Trigg County comes out and tries to do against us. And you know, we do that with other teams, other spread teams. It's like, okay, we got to take this guy away. And if that happens, then other teams say, okay, we have this other guy to do that. So we can't determine that now and say that we're going to put this guy over there because they might change it and put their best guy on what they think our best guy is. So we can't say that. And so when you have across the board, you know, when you have a Cody Belt that is a great athlete right now, is playing well for us, and then you have Brandon Lamy, and then you have Devin Nesbitt, and you have Ethan Dawson, and you have Mason Hunt, and then you have Gavin Dickerson, then you have, and then throwing the ball, you have Hunter Boone. So when you have that mix, we can't say we're just going to focus on one. And that's what the beauty of it is. So if we have our linemen, which are geared right now, I mean, we have them ready to go. Our linemen are ready to play. If we have those guys ready to play, then those guys will be ready to play. So our offensive line are going to have to make sure that we protect, because Trigg County will bring 5 people, and they might bring as many as 7 at some point. And if they do that, we have to be ready to pick those guys up, and we have to be ready to make sure that we hit the open receiver in our spread offense, that if they leave somebody uncovered. So, you know, we're going to try to do things by formation, and we're going to try to do things by execution, and by what just a sheer fact of what we do as an offense, we're going to try to make sure that we get that taken care of. And so we got to see how they're going to try to attack us. Defensively, I mean, we're just going to turn our guys loose and let them go. We want them to be after them and play 100 miles an hour and get to the football. So if we do that, and we'll be in good shape. And then it becomes kicking game, because we can't mess up in the kicking game. They, you know, Cody Bell did an excellent job of placing the ball last time against Stewart County. But I guarantee you that they're going to have guys in those spots, and we're going to have to make sure that we kick it where they're not. And because if they get it and they go to distance, that could be the difference of winning or losing a ball game.
A little more dynamic player we're going to see this week. And let's talk a little bit the blackout. This you've deemed this the blackout. You're going to unveil your new uniforms, and they're black. And now I understand Trigg County's got a counter to that. So what's going on?
Well, you know, I mean, it was simple. Crittenden County's never had black, and I realize that our colors aren't black. I understand that. They're blue and they're white. A lot of things are accented now in black instead of gray, and we brought that on thinking that it would, you know, it would look a lot better. You know, because we can say we can you know, get somebody black and blue instead of gray and blue. And so we accent things in black. And so the kids are excited that we have black uniforms for the first time ever. And so we deemed it as blackout. And I thought that it would be great against Trigg County because their colors are black. So I thought, well, their fans could wear black, even though they're going to wear white because they're away. You know, I thought, well, their fans can wear black and our fans could wear black and you can have a total black. And it's not trying to gain an advantage for anything. Well, come to find out, I guess Trigg County thinks that we're trying to gain some sort of advantage, and so they deemed it as a whiteout, and so their fans are going to wear white. And so it was nothing more than we're just trying to get our uniforms and trying to display our uniforms for the first time and make something exciting for the game that we had. So apparently they didn't see it that way. And you know what? That's okay. You know,
That's great. The Friday night gamesmanship is on.
That's right. And that's what it's all about. And so
that's awesome.
as long as we understand that there's no disrespect in us, and they understand there's no disrespect in them, that we're okay. So it's all good.
Look forward to Friday night. Bring your rain jackets. Hopefully this will be on out of the area. I know it's not going to be dry, but we pray for conditions that are favorable to playing a football game. I want to thank again Max Detail and Tinning for sponsoring this week's podcast. Coach Starnes, any closing comments?
Yeah, I mean, we'd just like to say come out and support us. We think we're exciting this year, and hopefully it continues on. And, Chris, thanks for everything that you do.
Yeah, man, this is going to be a good week. Got first home game, and I'm sure it's going to be a packed house.
Underway.
All right. Thanks, Coach Starnes.
All right, buddy.